Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is November 22nd, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. Welcome into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. And on this episode, Connor Ryan and I get into this crazy upcoming schedule for the Bruins, what it all means in the grand scheme of things. It's hard to sit here and declare a team legit or not based on, you know, this 10-game stretch in November and December, but maybe a little argument to be made for that here. We also get into some Patrick Kane stuff. There were some, there's some chatter about, hey, you know, would the Bruins make sense for Patrick Kane over the past weekend? Because the Bruins played the Blackhawks in a not so close game. But we get into that and we get into the bigger question of, you know, what will this team potentially need at the deadline? It's something that we haven't talked much about because the Bruins have been so good that it feels like they don't really need anything. But Connor and I get into that nonetheless in this episode. And before we get into our conversation, football is always up and running. Basketball is back. Hockey's back. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football odds, news, and game matchups, including all of the games this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your wagering information, including live betting, free contests, and live scores. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that be NHL, NBA, NFL, boxing, whatever you'd like, they've got it. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I don't think anybody's doing as great as the Bruins. Six in a row. Well, again, we're recording this prior to Monday's game against Tampa Bay. We got to preface it with that. So we don't know how that turned out. I know people probably get so annoyed when we do this, but that's just the way the schedule works. It's the way the week works. I don't usually play on Mondays. That's usually why Monday is usually a safe day to record. Tuesday is a safe day to put it out. Not the way it is this week, and with Thanksgiving later, I'm not going to push this back even further. We're going to put it out when it is. But it's interesting, Connor, because this Tampa Bay game in Tampa was the start and is the start of quite a stretch. Quite a stretch. Now, at the beginning of the year, when the schedule first dropped, we all kind of looked and said, all right, they're going to be without Martian and McAvoy up until about now. We figured this was probably when they were going to come back, and we all looked and said, oh, whoa, Tampa, then Florida, Carolina, then Tampa again. And that's just this week. Then you get into Colorado. You have Vegas twice. You have Colorado twice as well, right?
Yes.
You have just a crazy stretch of games coming up. And again, I wouldn't say the Bruins schedule has been super easy so far, because it hasn't been easy. I mean, you know, that Chicago game on Saturday, that's an AHL team over there.
Yeah, so, that ain't great.
No, that team, if you're a Blackhawks fan, I kind of feel for you, because the next 5 years, at least as of now, probably should be looking very similar to that. And the Bruins have had some really good wins against good opponents. Right. I mean, you can go back, you know, the Flames and, you know, the Rangers and that Penguins win. Like, there's been some really good opponents they've played, but not like this. Not like this. And is it a stretch, do you think, for me to say, hey, this might be the biggest stretch of the season where we really see if this team is worthy of being the number one team in hockey?
Yeah, I think so in terms of just who they're matched up against, and I think maybe to dispel the narrative, and I don't think it's even a narrative. Like, I don't really feel like there's a lot of people who, whether it's in Boston, well, I probably shouldn't say in Boston, but especially nationally, that are like, this is a paper tiger of a team, 16-2. Like, they've got, they haven't played anyone tough yet. And again, they've had an easier schedule than most, and it's helped out quite a bit that, they overcame those injuries. But this is still a team that has won in almost every conceivable fashion, right? They've had that great comeback against Pittsburgh. They've won games with a protecting one goal leads. They've won shootouts. They've won, high scoring games. I think you could ask for it. They've kind of checked that, all the
They've
various
blown
stress.
teams out.
Yeah, exactly. They've passed all the stress tests you'd expect. And as you said, I think we were looking at this schedule back when it was first released, being like, oh man, at this point of the season, they're probably going to have guys back, but Martian's coming off double hip surgery. Like, he's going to need a few weeks to shake the rust off. Charlie McAvoy, what's going to be, where's he going to be at in his recovery? And it hasn't been the case, right? So far, I mean, the guys are already back, and whether it's Martian getting 3 points in his first game, looks like he hasn't lost a step, or McAvoy, who, is coming off of a game where he had 4 assists, looked like kind of the same dominant McAvoy. Everything looks pretty good right now. So, again, is this a stretch where, let's say they go, I think it's like 10 games against teams that are over 500. Well, maybe not. Arizona's kind of in the middle there, but at least Arizona, like, they have
yeah,
the adversity
Arizona,
playing
it's like
in
that,
a...
It's like that meme of, I think Scott McLaughlin tweeted, like, the picture of the meme. It wasn't the same meme, but it's like the where there's the soldiers lining up behind the wall.
Oh,
the one guy in the middle,
clown.
He's the clown.
Yes.
That's the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes.
In the midst of Colorado, Vegas, Colorado again, and then Arizona, and then Vegas. That's
but
them.
There is some adversity of, like, playing, like, I think, like, their locker room's in, like, a storage closet, so there's
yes.
that adversity, so you have to fight through that as well.
They're
but...
dressing up in the hot dog and popcorn stands. That's where they're
yeah.
dressing up.
So if this is a stretch where they play these 10 games and they go, like, 8-2 or 7-3, I think more than anything, it just validates, all right, this team is legit. Now, if this stretch was, let's say it was March or something like that, like right before the playoffs, and now all these rosters are settled, then you could be like, all right, this team looks like they're rolling going into the playoffs. Like, I won't go right away in terms of saying this team is now, it's going to be a massive upset if they don't win the cup, like if they go on like a 7-3 stretch or anything like that. But I think a strong performance, and even if that's like 6-4, like,
yeah,
still, like, you look at who they're facing, like, that's still something where you're building your game, you're showing your mettle against other teams that are gonna be right in the mix, right? Like, I don't think there needs to be any,
even if
sweeping.
It's like 5-2-3. I know that's not amazing,
yeah,
but like, you got points out of those three.
I saw someone that I think tweeted at me and was like, watch, they're gonna go like, they're gonna go 4-4. I'm like, oh man, they're only gonna be 20-6. Like, oh shit, like, that's really rough against all really good teams. So, is this something where I think you're gonna get swept up in? I don't think so. People will be very excited, especially Bruins fans who've enjoyed the ride so far, if they do have a very, very strong record over the stretch. But I wouldn't say this is something that changes in terms of expectations. More just validates, I think, that this team can hang with the perceived, big dogs, I guess, in the NHL. So again, get to the playoffs, anything that can happen. But this team, one, looks legit. Two, everyone's pulling on the same rope. And if they have a strong stretch over these next couple weeks, I think Bruins can continue to feel good about how this team is playing and how they're building their game. Even though we're still about, once they're done with the stretch, still almost 3/4 of a season left, right? So,
yeah. And again, I think even if things don't go great, which I don't expect them to go bad, I think this, they'll be fine. I don't, again, as you said, I don't expect them to continue to win, to go 8-2 over the stretch or anything like that. But I also think that, even if things did go south and they weren't great, I wouldn't hit the panic button. It might not be the most encouraging thing. It's like, okay, they're really good, but if they in those 10, it's like 10 games, right? If they, 2-8's not great. That's hard to,
that would be a little
bad.
Concerning. Yeah.
That's concerning. But I still don't think it's, red flags. I still don't think, oh, they're not that good. But again, I mean, you've got, you have Tampa Monday. Again, we don't know what happened. We got, you have Florida, you have Tampa again. Those are two legitimate division foes. You have Carolina in there as well, who, again, you lost to last year in the first round and, is a very strong team coming out of the Metro. And then you got Colorado, Vegas, like, those are the two Western Conference favorites. And again, it's hard to say, hey, you have to prove yourself in November and December, but this is a stretch where you kind of can prove yourself a little bit. And those Vegas games with Bruce Cassidy coming back, that's going to be, I almost wonder, like, you know, normally you would think, oh, Bruce Cassidy has the most motivation going into it. You know, he wants to get revenge against the team that just fired him. And I think that's very much the case. But a lot of comments from the Bruins to start the year, kind of taking subtle digs at Cassidy, you know, or kind of say, oh, you know, this locker room's a little bit different, you know, this and that. Like, wouldn't surprise me if the Bruins have just as much motivation going against the Knights, which we'll kind of get to later as we get closer. I think we'll do more podcasts on Cassidy and things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Might have a little more motivation. You know, never know.
Some drama. We'll take some drama right now. I was going to say it's as it's been great that this team has been operating at a high level, but it seems like there's been very low-key drama throughout this whole thing, except for that one weekend. I say this now, I'm like, oh, yes. This team's rolling along.
That weekend took all the drama.
And they were all like, yeah, that took up most of it. So, but having a few on-ice storylines, whether that's, I mean, even you listen to, I think, John Cooper during his morning skate, you know, presser today was talking about the fact that, yeah, the Lightning get, you know, pretty hyped up when they play the Bruins in terms of their previous battles. They know they're standing, not just this year, but how they've kind of reigned at the top of the East. Like, some good bad blood there. There should be some really, you know, beyond just the stress test and proving your worth at the top of the league, there's going to be some really heightened matchup between some teams that do not like each other, which is going to be great for us hockey fans to watch.
Well, also Florida. I mean, now Florida has Matthew Tkachuk. And he was already causing problems when they played each other the first time earlier this year. Like, I think he is a guy that, you know, I think Bruins fans hate him, but you kind of love to hate him. Like, you know, again, until he actually, like, you know, injures someone.
Yes.
But you also just look at, like, you know, that Florida team, even when they were nasty last year, I don't know, there wasn't that, like, bite to them. You know, they were really skilled. And that's fun. Yay. But there's not that hatred for the Florida Panthers. You know, like, I don't know. They're just the Panthers, but now it's different. You got Tkachuk down there and you have, you know, a legitimate reason to hate them and to not to kind of despise them a bit. And it's a reason to an extra reason to watch. But yeah, I mean, again, this stretch coming up again, I say this, I don't believe in teams having to prove themselves in November and December, but I think this upcoming stretch says a lot about the team, where it is, where it currently is. And again, maybe I think that they would play really well. The Bruins play really well if they started taking that Athletic Greens, our next partner, which has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted better gut health and more energy. I don't drink coffee or use caffeine because I wanted healthier natural energy, and AG1 provides it in droves. It doesn't taste like it's super healthy or anything either. It has a mild tropical taste that I actually look forward to each and every morning. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop, as Connor can vouch in the tropics, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75, yes, count them, 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things you could ever want in one scoop. It's lifestyle-friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it contains less than a gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting really, really good. And this all supports better sleep quality and mental clarity. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Bruins. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Bruins. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So, you know, I mentioned that stretch, this upcoming stretch of games, because it's obviously pretty big. You know, that's pretty big. That's a pretty big stretch of games. And as I said, I don't believe in, you know, you have to prove yourself in November, December. But what it does kind of help with is what the team will need at the deadline, which again is far away, but it wasn't so far away this weekend. Because again, that Bruins Blackhawks matchup, not exactly most intense game ever. Quite honestly, a little bit of a drubbing, which, you know, nice to see. But at the same time, you know, that Blackhawks team, as I said earlier, stinks.
Ooh, not good.
That team is brutal. Poor Peter Mrazek, by the way. That dude has had some rough nights in TD Garden, and Saturday was near the top. I mean, like, some of those goals, it's just, you know, I mean, it's not an NHL team, and they know it.
Yeah,
it's not
there's
like,
only so much you can do there.
No, that team. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, they're in a rebuild. They acknowledge it, but that is a W on what should be every team's roster or every team's schedule, excuse me. But what the talk of Saturday was Patrick Kane. Because as everyone knows, it's Kane's last year of his contract. There's no reason or way they re-sign him. There's just no, like, makes no sense to bring him back. And he's still got hockey left in him. He's still very good. Good playmaking winger. I mean, you know, always been good. I mean, really one of the consistently good forwards of the past, what, 12 years?
Yeah.
14 years. I mean, he's, you know, been near the top of the league for a long time. And he's probably going to get dealt. He probably will get dealt at this deadline. And Jimmy Murphy of Boston Hockey Now was talking to some NHL executive, and the executive basically said along the lines, you know, Patrick Kane and the Bruins make a lot of sense. The Bruins were all in already, but with the start, I'd say they're full speed ahead and will do whatever it takes to get Bergeron one more cup. They have cap issues now, so they can't really go hard after Kane or anyone, but they need to be laying down the foundation for, acquiring a player like that. Now, again, so far, do you see any need on this team for Patrick Kane?
That's
or
a
player
thing, right?
Like that? That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those situations where a team can always get better. We'll just say that. A team can always – it's not like if, like, the Lightning the last couple of years, if a team went up to them and was like, hey, we'll give you, again, a player like Patrick Kane for future four, you know, first-round picks, and we'll retain all the money. It's not like – I think Julian Breezeball would be like – we're really good right now. Like, you can always be better. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you look at the way this team is playing right now, and most importantly, what it would take to get Patrick Kane in terms of the assets and especially the cap situation, that's where I just don't see it being a feasible thing. That's why I think when we did our bold predictions, which have not looked good so far, the one I do feel pretty confident about is that I don't think this team is going to be really in the hunt for a, you know, top 10 trade target or anything like that. You're not going to have years past where they've talked about Tomas Hertl or, you know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson or, you know, Lindholm last year, obviously, or Taylor Hall. I don't see them being a team that's going to be in that mix. And I think a lot of it, even if, let's say, there's an injury or something like that, or, you know, this team hits a bit of a wall at some point, I just don't see the Bruins having the cap flexibility and the willingness to continue to kind of bleed those resources to really be a realistic contender for a guy like that. When you look at other teams that are maybe, you know, I wouldn't say have more pressure on them or something like that, because the Bruins, clearly this is being viewed as the last dance. Like, if you want to go all in, you should. But you look at a team like the Kings or someone that has more cap space, the Devils, who have a crap ton of cap space, the Rangers, who, you know, even though they've spent quite a bit, they still have quite a few younger players on affordable contracts. So maybe you swing to the fences now before all those contracts come due. There's other teams that just seem like they're more equipped right now to take on a contract like Kane. Cause I don't think if you're the Bruins, it's a situation where, and people have talked about, all right, you trade for Patrick Kane, but you make the NHL contracts work. So you give up Grizzlick or Kahlo or DeBrusque or something like that, which, I mean, who knows what Chicago's thinking? We've said that for years now. This team very well should have just blown things up years ago. But if you're Chicago,
Seth Jones needed that long-term contract.
Yes. If you're Chicago, though, and you really want to, you're trading away the pillars of that dynasty that you had, guy that still is very valuable, and you really want to go scorched earth because you want to, you know, bottom out, is getting like guys who are like still pretty good that are like 25, 26, 27, like a DeBrusque or a Grizzlick who's, you know, 28. Is that what they're looking for? No, they want either legit prospects and first-round picks, which the Bruins could offer that. Again, they probably wouldn't be happy about giving up probably multiple firsts and giving up, like, Lysell or Lauri.
Lysell would be gone in that deal,
yeah,
I would think.
I'd probably ask for both. If I'm Chicago, like, when you look at other teams that could, you know, give up guys like the Kings or someone who has a much deeper prospect pool, of course you're asking for probably both those guys along with a first-round pick. And beyond the Bruins' hesitancy to do that, they need money to go out in the process. What's Patrick Kane making right now? $10.5 million?
Ooh, yes, like, it is.
Yeah, so it's one thing where the Bruins would love it to be, probably, if they were realistically trying to get him, moving out contracts in the process. But why would Chicago really do that beyond just like a, a John Moore contract or something like that, which maybe balances the books a little bit. Like, you need to move out a lot of money. This team needs to trade Mike Riley at some point, most likely, in order just to get cap compliant once Derek Fulber comes back. And that's what, I think they're $1.6 million over the cap. How about taking $10-plus million in Patrick Kane?
Well, that'll fix
pretty
it.
Tough. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I look at it like this. They got their Patrick Kane at the deadline in 2021 when they got Taylor Hall. And then they re-signed him. Like, that was the whole point. You needed a top six left shot winger. You went out and got a top six left shot winger for, like, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, that took nothing. And then you re-signed him to a fairly team-friendly deal. Now, yeah, Taylor Hall could be better, but he's been fine so far. He gives you a ton of depth, you know, dynamic, all that stuff. Again, I just look at, you need your first round pick next year. You need to make it. You need to make your first round pick in this draft. Not only, like, take away the fact that the draft is, you know, as good as it was in 2015, maybe better than 2015. These kids are really good. Like, this draft, I think if you're picking anywhere in the top 17, you're getting a, you know, a guy that you're hoping is a pillar of your roster for the future.
Right.
You also just look at, they've been spotty on the first round picks making them. Like, you need to replenish the prospect pool. I know people don't want to hear this, but there will be seasons past this season. Like, and they've been going all in for a long time now. So they got to make sure that they don't stink in the future. I know you want to win now, but you got to make sure you don't stink. And also, as you said, they don't have a huge hole. They don't. This could be, I mean, this is a year where it, at least as of today, November 21st, it looks like the big hole will just be, you know, adding depth pieces, which isn't a big hole. Like, you just add some depth pieces. That's a good thing. That's a good problem. Now, again, you don't want to, you know, we'll see what happens come deadline time. You don't want to be left behind. You know, every year it's an arms race. You don't want to be the team that doesn't do anything. And then, you know, the postseason comes around and you could have done something big and you lose because the top six scoring doesn't show up. And you're like, oh, damn, Patrick Kane might have helped out with that. Or someone else big would have helped out with that or whatever. But I don't know. I look at the Bruins as ahead of most every other team, at least right now. I don't think, as currently constituted, you don't need Patrick Kane. As you said, you can always use extra, but look at what you'd have to give up. Look at the cap situation. Is that really what you want? You know, now if Patrick Kane was a center, if Patrick Kane was a center, then it might be different. Then we might be sitting here going, hey, you know what? Maybe it's worth it. Get Kane, sign him after the season. You know, figure out who's your future 1 and 2 C, go, you know, years down the line. But this is another kind of stopgap. But no, he's a winger. So, again, cool idea, fun idea. It's a fun November topic idea, but I don't, it's just not, you don't have to do it. You know, right. I mean, do you foresee anything change? Like, what would have to change? You know, obviously a major injury is one, right. But what would have to change for this Bruins team to have to go out and get a big fish, whether it be Kane or somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would just have to be a part of the roster seriously regressing. And again, what is that? Is that the third line? You need another player like that, but I wouldn't say that's like a massive upgrade. It's a spot that needs to be addressed if, let's say, a guy like Frederick, you know, falls out of his spot, or, you know, we don't even know what happens with Craig Smith, but Taylor Hall is going to play with Coyle on Monday against the Lightning. So there's various ways where maybe guys can regress and it could prompt that. But beyond like the obvious injury, I don't see where exactly it's all right. Yeah, of course, like, is Patrick Kane an upgrade from Jake DeBrusque? Yeah, like, no shit. But like, again, you have to look at just what the realistic options are. It's not be a GM mode, right? You've got so many other hurdles in your way beyond the obvious in terms of the assets and what have you. And again, people can say like, well, you can go all in anyway. Like, we're going to, you know, the Bruins are not going to be that good the next couple of years, which they're trying their best to avoid that. But I think it all comes down to, yes, this team is all in, but you look at just where the cap situation is, it's just not viable in terms of how much, you know, cap space you have to move out to take on a big contract. It just doesn't make any sense, Evan.
No, it doesn't. And again, cool idea, fun idea. Yes. You know, you can put the trade proposals together. Again, I think it would have to be Lysel, Lowry, a first, maybe more. But yes. And then again, you have to figure something out with the cap. Like, are you just trading Mike Riley and Craig Smith to teams just for the heck of it? And then you also got to, you know, you still have more cap to figure out. Like, I don't, again, it would just be too much. I don't know how you would do that? I don't know. You know, I mean, again, a top six. What fan isn't going to like the idea of a top six of Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, and Taylor Hall, David Krejci, Patrick Kane? Everybody would love that.
Yes.
Just not very doable. So fun idea in practice. But again, as I said, it hits at a bigger thing of, I don't think we will be sitting here in February saying, hey, the Bruins should be in on all these big name guys who are rumored to be dealt. They just don't really need it. Again, the only area maybe would be like on the right side on defense.
Right.
And I don't even mean a big name. I mean, like, you know, someone you could potentially put in the top four. You know, something happens to Carlo again or Clifton regresses. Then it's like, all right, maybe, you know, yes, we do need someone in there on that second pairing that can hold it down. But again, it hasn't happened yet. And you also have Strawman. You have guys there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they need anything big at this deadline. Again, it's a long time away. But one thing that people do need is a subscription to Boston Sports Journal, per source. As I'm not saying that, but many are saying
many this. Are saying this. Evan.
Many are saying this. What can the people look forward to from you over at BSJ?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way throughout this stretch for the Bruins against some other cup contenders. So whether that's game reports, features, columns, Q&As, video breakdowns, all that good stuff will be over at BSJ every single day. So please subscribe over at bostonsportsjournal.com. You want to follow me on Twitter? You can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. For CLNS Media, I'm Evan Marinofsky, you Bruins Beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week.